salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in this time to our broadcast. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. Our Lord has just spoken about prayer and how that all men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't quit. Our Lord is glorified when we ask Him, go to Him for the things that we truly need. For the petition for others, that the Lord would work. And the expectation of the Lord, the design of the Lord is that men ought to only petition the Lord, rather than themselves or mankind. When He comes, will he find faith in him that that'll work? I'll tell you what, prayer works because of the Lord. When the Lord gets behind the situation, when our Lord becomes involved in a situation, then he will even make the impossible possible. That's our Lord. In verse number 9 of Luke 18, we have another thing here. This is very weighty. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he's speaking unto a group within the group there. It's aimed at them. And they trust in themselves. They're self-righteous. They believe they've got it together. They're right and just before God. That they were righteous. And then, how were they towards others? They despised them. When the Lord Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? He said, love God with everything you've got, everything that is you, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the Lord is singling these folks out. I mean, not calling them out by name. It doesn't say here in the scripture, but this is directed at them. And you know what? We're all subject to this. Especially the sinner that's not saved. Indeed, we believe we're self-righteous. We're okay in and of ourselves. That's what repentance is all about, is to bring us to the end of ourselves to see that we have no righteousness acceptable to God in any wise. Isaiah makes it clear that the best we've got, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. A filthy rag that you have used and would throw away, whatever the purpose would be, that's our best day. As the brother said, that's our best day. Two men went up into the temple to pray. What did they see when they went to the temple? Two men went up to the temple to pray, our Lord Jesus says. And I ask this question on top of it. What did they see? The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So we've got a Pharisee here. He's of the sect of the Pharisees. There's a handful of things, or many things that they believe, to be righteous before God and to obey God. And they've taken and making their own commentary from the Word of God and totally turned upside down or set at naught the Word of God, the Lord says. And the other one's a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He says, Jesus says, this man's prayer didn't get past the top of his head. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. Tell you what, this man is self-righteous, isn't he? He is saying within himself that he knows the standard. He knows the mind of God, and he knows what tells if a man is just before God or not, is righteous before God or not. This man, the self-righteous, claim that they have the mind of God. And think about that. This man, no doubt, seeks to keep the law. Yet the thing is, as Paul makes it clear, being a Pharisee himself before the Lord saved him, that his biggest issue was not things without, and we know that he had problems with things without, but the biggest issue he had was that with it which is within, the 10th commandment, covetousness. You know that covetousness starts in the heart? Covetousness starts in the heart as a man looks on at another man's stuff and wants it. Not one like it, but wants it. He wants that one. Covetousness. He wants what another has and is jealous because of it. And maybe will go to any length or some length to gain it for himself. This Pharisee prays with himself and he says, thank you, Lord, I'm not like this publican. He thinks that he knows that he's got it together and he is right and just before God, and this publican is not. He's claiming to have the mind of God. If there's any of you under the hearing of my voice that believe that you've arrived at sinless perfection, that since you were quote unquote saved, you've not sinned since then, you know what you're claiming? You are claiming that you have the mind of God. See, a sinner that is truly repentant before God understands that we don't know how we've sinned against God. But God is so holy and God is so right and righteous that we have ways that we've sinned against God that we are totally ignorant of. Totally and completely ignorant of. But someone that says that they're sinless and they're perfect, and they don't sin anymore. They say that they have the mind of God. They say that they have the standard of God within them. You know who is the standard of God? Anyone that's going to be sinless has got to be like Jesus Christ, the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And tell you what, those that are honest know good full well that we're never going to be in and of ourselves like Jesus Christ. The man goes on in verse 12 and says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so he told about some of the things that he did. He fasts twice in the week. And you know what he believes? That fasting twice a week is enough. Is that enough? Do you know that that's enough? Do you know that God says that fasting twice a week is enough? We don't know. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. I wonder about the man's offering. Did he offer? Did he give anything free will? Did he calculate the tithe right? Or did he ever miss? He says he's done it perfectly. And maybe he did. He's self-righteous. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off, he didn't venture in very far, kind of right in the door, if you will, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast. I tell you what, that smiting upon the breast is a signification, it signifies the gravity and the truth and the compliance to what is said. The owning of what is said. He smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's praying unto God, not himself. He knows he needs mercy because he falls short. And he knows that he's a sinner because he just cannot get rid of his sin and quit sinning. He knows that. Now, because we have this sinful nature, is no excuse for us to sin. But knowledge about how it is causes us to be watching for when we do sin, and when we do sin, to repent before our Lord as he's commanded us that we might be cleansed. That's for the children of God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. This man is repentant. This man is submissive to the Lord. He knows that mercy has got to come from the Lord, and he knows his state and condition. But listen to what Jesus says. I tell you that this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. You know what justification is? Justification in the scriptures, the scriptural biblical definition of justification, is for one to be made just as if they'd never sinned. Justification is a judicial fare meted out only by the Lord. Men have no involvement in justification. In summary, you know what justification is a testimony to? A man's righteousness. See, this man didn't claim righteousness of his own, but he knew that he needed the mercy of God for righteousness to be imputed unto him by God. Jesus' righteousness, we understand in our day, has got to be given unto sinners so we can have the righteousness that makes us sin-free. Now, in this flesh, we still sin, but one day we'll be saved completely. We'll have a body like Christ. We won't sin anymore. Oh, what a day that will be. But this man knew that in his flesh he was a sinner against God. Jesus says this man's went to his house justified, meaning his righteousness was of God and was complete. And this man has been made as if he'd never sinned. Why? He's repented. He's trusted in the Lord and the Lord only to help him. Remember, this parable comes to those that trusted in themselves. We see that in the Pharisee, and despised others. Do you operate to gain ground and get a leg up by running other people down? Running people down and always looking to make oneself look better than another is not pleasing unto God. That's what this man did. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. God, I thank thee that I am not like this publican. The man was standing there near him. I tell you, this man, the publican, and his appeal, he wouldn't lift up his eyes. He smote upon his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, verse 14, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. This is the economy of God. Run yourself up and make yourself look good before God and crawl up on the back of others by running them down and comparing yourself to them. I'll tell you what, you will be put down. This man went to his house justified, the publican did, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. In time, if this man did not change, he was abased by the Lord, waking up in hell. And he that humbleth himself, humility before God, acknowledgement of God's place and ours, repentance before God, and crying out to God for mercy and the need of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to be applied to our hearts, our souls, our lives, our bodies, our existence for the rescue. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How is it with you? I see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.